morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, before we get to our topics for today, we actually have quite a few to get through here in the next 15 minutes, but we do want to talk about a few things on our calendar. Of course, the Artovinos Farmers Market has their winter-spring market going on right now, more of a winter market, I think, than a spring market. That's going to happen a little bit later in the season, but they have their market now continuing every Saturday from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., and that's in Sunland Park, New Mexico. Something coming up here in a few weeks is an aquaponics workshop at the Mountain View Market Farm in Mesilla, New Mexico. And we were actually talking a little bit about this before the show, and it's something that I'm not really familiar with, but apparently it's a sustainable type of system, aquaponics, where fish and plants are grown together and they mutually benefit from each other. The fish produce a natural fertilizer for the plant. The plants act as a natural water filter, and so growers and gardeners and farmers can kind of help reduce the use of our limited water supply here in the Southwest. And you can learn more about this aquaponics system by attending that workshop on December the 7th. That's a Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon at the Mountain View Market Farm in Mesilla. You do have to register online or on the phone or at the Mountain View Market Co-op on El Paseo Road in advance. And you can get all that information by giving the radio station a call, or you can also find it all on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, Denise, I don't know if any of your master gardeners are involved in aquaponics, but you have a lot of master gardeners now under your wings.
Oh, we sure do. We just finished wrapping up our fall 2013 class, and we'll have 25 new master gardener interns.
That's great.
In the county. So we're really excited to that's going to bring our total master gardeners in our county to about over 120 people.
How does that compare to other cities around Texas?
We're actually labeled as a medium size master gardener class because we have about 100 people that are certified master gardeners. So the one great thing about master gardener is that you can continuously learn about horticulture. Once you're finished the program itself during the internship year, you become certified, but then every year thereafter, you have to recertify, and that includes an additional hours of continuing education units and volunteering time.
And obviously, you know, knowing from Bill here, you're a master gardener as well. I think
Correct.
A lot of people find it really rewarding because you do have, again, over 100 of them. And these are master gardeners that I'm assuming that have been in the system for many years now.
Yes, they range from 1 to 20 plus years that have been active
wow.
master gardeners. And the really interesting thing about it is during their internship year, we have required programs that they have to attend and put in their volunteer time. And then after that, one year, then they can kind of pick one of their extension activities and do all of their volunteer time in that one particular garden or that one particular activity. So we certainly have those folks that dedicate all of their time to either the rose garden or the xeriscape garden, or they just absolutely love vegetables. They're out there. So it's kind of nice when people have that nice fit. You know, Bill does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I've noticed
cool.
that.
Yeah, so he's very, very knowledgeable in a lot of different subjects.
Well, it's a great organization and 120 people. I remember when I joined the group, went through the classes, I think we were down to 40-something
wow.
at that point. So it's, and over the last 7 years, it's grown dramatically. It's just a real good organization, and I'd like to encourage people to put it on their calendar for next year because we do have one class a year. Starting the end of August. And so put it on your calendar and plan accordingly.
Yeah, and we'll keep you, of course, up to date as to when those next series of classes will be coming up. Well, something that the Master Gardeners have been getting questions about on the Master Gardener Hotline is because we are suffering through some pretty cold temperatures this weekend, is how to protect their potted plants from this cold weather.
Right, exactly. And before we get to the cold weather, I hope that people enjoyed the fall color that we had all year round. I know my camera's filled with a lot of nice, colorful shots of that because it really has been a mild fall where it's been cool enough to change those leaves but not have them drop. But I guess we're seen a big difference this weekend.
I think a lot of people this weekend are going to wake up to very naked-looking trees.
Right. Exactly. Right. And I think a lot of people want to keep a lot of their container plants alive during the winter. And I think it's important to talk about those. And first of all, determining whether you have an annual in your container or you have a perennial. Because obviously your annuals are going to finish their life cycle and they're going to be done. But those perennials that you've bought, that you're going to invest several years in them, you still need to water them enough to keep their roots hydrated even during the dormant season.
And I've heard that by watering your potted plants before, you know, there may be a freeze or just extreme cold temperatures coming, that you're actually protecting them more. Kind of like when we had that freeze, when you, the trees that were the most watered or the shrubs that were the best irrigated, those were the ones that had the best chances of surviving. So I guess sort of in a more micro scale, the same theory would apply to potted plants.
Yes, exactly. That water does. It's plant physiology at its finest, but that water, by hydrating those cells, are going to keep them and prevent them from bursting or drying out when it gets too cold.
Well, and I'd like to say that the perennials actually don't go dormant. They're still thriving and growing. So that's why another reason to water on a regular basis. And if you bring your plants actually inside your home, the environment is quite a bit drier in the wintertime, so they may actually need a little bit more water than you've been giving them outside because it's so dry because of our forced air furnaces that just dry out the atmosphere so much.
And that's when we see a lot of people complain about the leaf drop.
Yes.
And that's really because of that dry air inside your home. It is a harsh environment to transition.
Particularly the first
into.
2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
They change dramatically, and the days are getting shorter and shorter until December 21.
Yeah, definitely. If you have a container and it's light enough for you to pick up when you do water, you want to make sure that it's watered thoroughly. So that container is going to be much heavier. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that all of the water falls through the drain hole and you don't leave any water collecting on the saucer. That's going to only rot the roots. And then you're going to end up having an issue with fungus gnats, especially if you bring your container pots inside.
That's correct.
And so, I know that if you can't bring your pots inside, maybe you've got very large potted plants that are too difficult for you to take inside, but maybe there's a way that you can just sort of manage to move them around your patio. If you can get them at least up against the wall of your home and not further out towards your yard, you're actually going to give them a little bit more protection than if you were just to leave them out there in place.
Right, exactly. One thing that we like to promote with container pots is to have actually a two-pot system. So you have your outside decorative pot that's just empty, that's holding your functioning pot on the inside. And usually you can protect that inner space with styrofoam or some kind of evaporative cooling pads or any kind of material of your choice, because what's going to happen is the cold temperatures, if there's nothing there to buffer that, then your roots are going to be exposed to those harsh temperatures. Mm-hmm. Unlike when a plant is in the ground, it's buffered by that soil. They don't have that luxury when it's above ground in a container. And definitely by pushing those plants up to the corner of your house, you're going to benefit from the radiated heat getting onto your outside walls, and it also protects them from wind. One thing that I think we see a lot in patios is people cover their tops of their pots.
Correct.
With that. So right. And there's a lot of different techniques that you can use for.
Right. I think the point is that if you can just keep the whatever you're covering the plant with, keep it off the leaves as much as you can. Don't let it lay heavily on the leaves, particularly if you're using plastic. Plastic is not a recommended material because, number one, it doesn't do a lot of insulating. A lot of people think it's just the frost that hurts the plant, but it's really just the temperatures in general, is it not?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So plastic is not a recommended material, but any light sheet or light blanket or anything that if you can prop it up some way to keep it off the leaves, that would be helpful.
Because it is going to be a lot of warm, clear days in our wintertime. Even though the air temperatures may be cool, it's still bright out there. So if you do have a plastic covering your pot, you're pretty much cooking your plant.
Yes.
When there's no air exchange.
Well, and it takes a lot of putting the insulating material on and taking it off maybe. If you're on a back patio that sees a fair amount of sun, you're going to have to take that off. You need it to want it to get light during
right.
the day. And then if you have a 60 or 65 degree day, that's quite a bit of heat that plant's going to experience.
Right. And people can find the garden centers, these frost blankets.
Yes.
That are exactly what you're talking about, Bill. It's a really light, thin material that will protect the plant in the event of a freeze.
Right. A question that we've had recently is that, do I need to protect the soil or do I need to protect the plant itself as it comes out? So.
Yeah, no, definitely you want to protect – your soil's okay. You want to make sure that your plant is protected. And in particular, depending if it's actively growing or not, then you'd focus on either the roots or the shoots. And if we have some time, I'd like to talk about maybe some soil sample things. One of our to-do list in the garden at this time is really, I would encourage people to take a soil sample at least once every 3 to 5 years. And this is really just to get the baseline knowledge of to know what you have in your soil. It's important that you either test your lawn or your vegetable garden. So a lot of people test their vegetable gardens because that's where they put a lot of inputs into them, compost and fertilizer and water. And one easy way to take a soil sample is to just dig a little 6-inch to 6-inch depth using a little small trowel and take a little core sample for that. And depending on how large your vegetable garden, you want to take at least 6 to 10 of those samples all throughout in random spots in your garden, and then mix all of that up into a pail. And then you want to take a little subsample of that and put that into a bag. At Extension, we do work with the Texas A&M University Soil Testing Lab, so we'll be able to provide those bags where you'd send your sample to. The homeowner is responsible for a fee to pay on their soil sample, and that ranges from $10 to about $37, depending on what you're looking for. So homeowners have any questions, certainly give us a call to see which test would be appropriate for them. And then when the results do get in, we're actually able to help interpret those results for them.
So when you get a lot of these results, are they kind of typical for what you'd expect? Or have you ever come across some weird samples where you're like, that's really not supposed to be there, but somehow it is?
Yeah, sometimes people think that they certainly have a salt problem, and in reality, they don't necessarily have a really high salt content on that, but the results indicate that they may have elevated levels of phosphorus or potassium, because when they're putting out their fertilizer, they put a very balanced fertilizer, and you kind of build up your reserves from these two nutrients.
Yeah, and we were talking about this just a few weeks ago, that sometimes if you don't know what the composition of your soil is and you're adding the fertilizer that I guess would be normally recommended for vegetables or for your grass or for whatever, but if you have maybe an elevated level of maybe potassium or nitrogen in your soil and you keep adding fertilizer with additional amounts, you're probably going to be doing more harm than good.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, you'll be wasting your time and your resources mm-hmm. on that. And if you picked a fertilizer that needed whatever the needs of your lawn needs, then you're going to end up with a healthier lawn and you're going to be able to tap into those reserves that have been stained in your soil profile. So that's definitely one way to look at it, because I think, you know, sooner than later, we're going to start seeing fertilizer popping up in the garden centers again.
That's
people
right.
are just going to want to apply that. So it's one really good thing to look at this point when things are not actively growing, so you can get your results and you can be ready to plan for the springtime when fertilizer application would be appropriate.
Right. Well, if you want to learn more about how you can get your soil tested by the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, you can give them a call at 860-2515. That's 860-2515. And we want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.